we'll just wing it. That's what this is supposed to be about, right? A conversation. So do you listen to Dinner with Racers at all?
Yes. Love
yeah,
that.
I'm not, yeah, I'm not that good.
Welcome to the Late to Grid podcast. This is Bill Snow. And once again, John Thorne is late to grid. Haven't seen him, but we're going to get rolling with the show anyways. And we have a very exciting episode this time with Dave Lancaster, the region executive. Is it region or regional?
Region executive.
I had it right.
Or, region.
So Dave is in charge of the Neo Ohio region, SCCA, here in the Northeast Ohio area. And Dave, it's great to have you here.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for inviting me. I was excited when you invited me. So looking forward to this and telling people about what we have going on at Neo Ohio this year.
I know it's very busy, and you are a busy guy. So I really appreciate you carving some time out. You were, you're always traveling for work, and you were up in the Boston area just a couple nights ago, right?
I was. So I got up Monday morning in Boston because my daughter just moved there. So my wife and I took the, that's one of the advantages of having a pickup truck. I think it's for pulling snowmobiles and race cars, and she thinks it's for moving. So we hauled a U-Haul trailer up there this weekend, and Monday morning I got up in Boston, came to Cleveland, dropped my wife off, and then I headed over to South Bend and Grand Rapids for a couple business meetings. So not a typical week, but I get some heavy miles in every year.
Yeah, for sure. So before we get into the Neo Ohio SCCA stuff, I got a couple questions. So you're a busy person, and this is the off season, and we have a race season coming up. So how do you find time to get your car ready?
I don't. So one, I run a very simple car. I run a spec racer that doesn't require a ton of maintenance. And I'm very spoiled, lucky, blessed, however you want to say it. I ran into a guy a few years ago at work that just absolutely loves racing. And he does a lot of the stuff. Now, I'm always out there with them. So typically, you know, within probably 20, 24 hours in the shop. So that's, you know, if there's two of us, we work 8 hours, that's 16 hours in a day. We can get that car ready for the season. And then about 10 to 15 hours between races. So force yourself to go out there. If you want to race, you got to force yourself to go out there. I'm also very lucky in that I have a pole barn on my property. So I'm 2 minutes away from the car. I can, you know, bleed brakes, pull one of the family members out there to help me out once in a while during the week.
Yeah. But, so for those that don't know, describe what a Spec Racer Ford is.
Well, Spec Racer Ford is a, looks like an old Can-Am car without the wings. So it's an open cockpit car with fenders on it. So if you go back in the 70s, there were Can-Am cars. It kind of resembles one of those. It's hard to describe to people. Some people look at it and go, ooh, it's an overgrown go-kart. Or others will tell me it's an Indy car without wings. But it's a flat bottom car. So those that do know what Can-Am cars look like or what sports racers look like, what the Spec Racer Ford is, it's SCCA's attempt to do some spec series and control costs. So we run a Ford engine, Ford transmission. They're sealed. They're made by SCCA Enterprises in Denver, Colorado. All the chassis are the same. Same shock, same tires, same brakes, same everything. The only thing we're allowed to do is, you know, adjust the suspension, corner weights to our needs, and that's about it.
Sounds fun. Sounds a little bit less stressful than, you know, maybe something you converted into a race car.
Right.
Yeah, good deal. So what is your racing schedule for the year? What are you personally going to do?
So personally, I'm going to do a heavy front end with the Spec Racer. I'm going to attempt to go to 2 Super Tours, which is probably the highest level amateur road racing in the country, except for the runoffs. And these are qualifiers for the runoffs. So I'll do 1 at Pitt Race, 1 at Mid Ohio. Then I'm going to take a little time off, and we've got some things I have to do with being the RE. We've got a few events at Neohio I'm sure we're going to discuss. Then I'll probably just do a few locals at Mid-Ohio, Nelson's, and then I'll shut it down in September, and I'm going to do some endurance racing in September, October, and possibly maybe do a guest trip down to Florida in December. We'll see how the season goes.
Sounds fun.
So, yep. So probably 6 to 7 weekends I'll be out there between enduro racing and spec racing. And I'll probably be at the track due to my RE position 12 to 14 times this summer.
Wow. Busy summer for sure.
Yeah.
And real quickly, how did you get into motorsports?
Well, I'm a second generation club racer. So when I was a kid, I thought every kid just went to Nelson Ledges in Mid-Ohio, didn't they?
Yeah.
My dad was very fortunate. I was born into a family that my father was heavy into Corvette Cleveland, and they used to do a lot of time trials, what we call solo, they call Gymkhanas, in the area. And then he and a bunch of his buddies got the bug to go big time wheel-to-wheel racing. So in the mid-70s, they built a B production Corvette, and they actually not only went SCCA racing, they went in the early stages of IMSA. They did a lot of endurance racing around the region. We went down to Atlanta, up to Elkhart, Watkins Glen. So we used to do a lot of that. And then took time off. I think we missed the whole 80s. And then when I became of age, he and I decided to do it together for a few years, and haven't been at it consistently. As you know, racing is racing. So I had a 12-year hiatus myself where I didn't drive, and I got back into it in 2004 and been here ever since.
Yeah, very cool. So I guess one more question before we go into the Neohio stuff. So from your personal racing experiences, what are you most proud of, or what do you want to share?
What do I want to share for being proud? Well, I was the Great Lakes divisional champion 3 times now since I've been back since 2004 in a spec racer. And if anybody knows what a spec racer is, it's a pretty darn competitive class. We have, we're not pro racers, but it's one of the top tier classes out there for pure driving. And then probably my biggest was I almost won the Super in 2005 at Mid-Ohio. If I would have hit the magic button, I probably would have won. The Super Tour series was getting started. It was who's who of the spec racers were down there in 2015. And it's clearly one of my local tracks, so I normally do okay there. Mm-hmm. And it rained, so it really gave me a competitive advantage. And there's one of the real hot shoes from the area was Scott Reddick, and the other guy, Bobby Sack from Michigan, who just won the national championship. Those two did take off and kind of left the pack, and I was able to make my way into third. And as it was raining harder, we actually caught another one of my buddies was chasing me down. We caught Bobby Sack. We passed him, and I thought, okay, we're fighting for second. And we were fighting pretty hard. And sure enough, come around down into the brake zone off turn 5, and there's Scott sitting in the grass. Huh. And there was 3 of us. There's a guy from Chicago, a guy from Indiana who knew the track as well as I did, and myself. And it got real. So we went at it for a while. I got passed on the last lap. And what had happened was the track started to dry. And I had flipped my rain mapping on, which slowed down, you know, some of the timing and the horsepower in the car, which really was good and needed because we went out on dry tires.
Sure.
But towards the end, it was time to flip into race mode, and unfortunately I got passed down the back stretch, and as I was getting passed, I'm like, can't say the word, but it was the SHIT word. I'm like, oh, and I flipped the button, and it was too late, and a guy by the name of Jim Gray got me. But it was it was pretty prestigious because, you know, we got the podium and all that, and there was a lot of real big names. And for 15 minutes in the spec racer circles, I was famous for being on the podium and leading a bunch of laps. And I showed up at pit race in the Glen that year, and I kept getting, you know, some recognition. Oh, Dave's going to be quick, which was nice to hear. I wasn't in the top three again, but
yeah, that's a great story.
Mm-hmm. So that was probably my best single race. And then, you know, the consistency with winning the Great Lakes Championship a few times was pretty good to go through.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's talk a little bit more about NeoHio SCCA. And so what is the Sports Car Club of America?
Sports Car Club of America was founded, I guess, 76 years ago now. I think last year we had our 75th anniversary. It's an amateur sports car club. And back in the 50s, and I think late 40s, even when they got started, they were real big with wheel-to-wheel racing. And that's how they got started, which is obviously what I do now. They were the first amateur wheel-to-wheel racing group out there. And back then, they were taking sports cars. They didn't have sports racers, formula cars, stuff like that didn't exist back then. And it's just grown from there. And now SCCA represents different types of motorsports activities. So we still do club racing, obviously, which is wheel-to-wheel, which is probably what we're most famous for. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of autocross. Solo is what we, you know, SCCA calls it. So that's kind of our entry level. We get people in started with solo. We do road rally, which is time and distance rallies out on the road. We do rally cross now, which is same thing as solo or autocrossing in the dirt. Hmm. And SCCA the last few years has gotten really big into track days and time trials. So we do almost every type of activity, you know, that you can do with anybody that owns a sports car or a dedicated race car here in the United States. We also do a few other small sports. We do this Street Survival, which is more of a training program for teenage kids. We're one of the BMW Club and SCCA are the only two authorized sanctioning bodies for Street Survival. So that's coming back online now that hopefully COVID's a little more under control out there.
Yeah, Street Survival is a great program. Both my daughters went through it. Even I learned something just sort of sitting there and listening to the instructors. It's a great program. I hope it comes back bigger than ever after COVID.
Right, right. Now, both my daughters went through it as well. And you probably recognize what I do. They're especially that 16, 17-year-old group. They're a class above the average 16, 17-year-old, at least when it comes to car control and awareness.
Right.
Which is something that is not taught in driving in regular, you know, driving school for the kids. So yeah, I'm very, very proud of that program.
So NeoHio is Northeast Ohio. There's probably 530, 540 members.
You got it. Since you're one of them.
Yeah. And all kinds of different levels of ability to get involved. Some folks are just members and other folks are super active at almost every event. Mm-hmm. So where should we start for the 2021 season?
I don't know. Our biggest event that we really want to talk about is our new partnership with Nelson Ledges Road Course. There's a lot of stuff going on at Nelson's this year to get involved. So that's probably really where we want to start. We've got... at an entry level, we have something called Track Night of America out there. Mm-hmm. Heavily involved with Track Night of America because in addition to my job, my racing, my RE, somehow I raised my hand a little too high and I am the I am the event lead for Track Night of America, just the events at Nelson Ledges this year. So there's four of them. I've been working with that team. That's a team out of National that they put mm-hmm. together. I've been working with them for 3 years now, mainly a pit race. And then we obviously got a program started over at Nelson's, but Track night's really cool. It's about $150. We come out mid-afternoon. We typically get started about 3:30 to 4:30, depending on the time of year. And each driver will get three 20-minute sessions out at Nelson's. We break the drivers into experience, and it's all street cars. So they're DOT cars. We do allow a few race cars, but they have to meet DOT requirements. We're not formula cars, sports racers like what I race, dedicated race cars. This is more of an entry level to get people comfortable with going fast out on the track. So we do provide some pretty heavy instruction for our novice group. Our intermediates, we kind of let them go and we watch them and we monitor them and we'll talk after their session. And then the advanced people are pretty much, a lot of them are actually ex-racers or people that are currently racers that just have cool cars at home that want to get out there. So it's a great program, real friendly, fun environment. And by 7:30, we're done. So it's SCCA's way of attacking the golf courses out there.
Yeah.
The people that have the ability to get off work early instead of going out and playing 18 holes, they jump in their Camaro or Porsche and come out to the track and have some fun for a couple hours.
Yeah. And with everyone working from home, maybe into the summer, they'll be easy for them to sneak out.
That's what we're hoping. Bill, it's amazing. I did my first one, I guess, 3 years ago, and I was one of their, I was selected to be a driver coach. And I thought, what are we going to get? 40 people? Who in the heck's going to come? We got 115 cars. And that's what sells out for the three groups at Pitt Race.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been there when we haven't been sold out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So what would, let's say someone listening says, wow, I want to give that a try. So what would they need to bring with them? What do they need to come with?
They need to come with a safe car. So we don't do a tech like we do racing, but we make sure that their tires, their brakes are in good shape. You want to make sure your battery's tied down, and you want to make sure that everything is out of the car. There's nothing in the car. So that's the first thing, is bring a car that's dependable, safe. You don't have to bring a Camaro or a Porsche. We have a lot of Hondas out there, Toyotas. You can bring almost any kind of street car to come out with. Then you need a Snell, what is it? This year, I guess it would be a 2015 or newer helmet. And we can help provide you with some. We do have a few loaner helmets, and we can get you some helmets. And that's really all you need to come out there. You do need to be an SCCA member to participate. But we can do for $15, we can do a weekend membership. Cool. So it's pretty inexpensive. It's $150 to come out. And if you watch the Facebook post and the posts that are out there, Falcon Tires is one of our sponsors. And there's normally a $15 or $20 coupon out there for first timers. So it's $120. You can't beat that.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm sure the intermediate and advanced folks know what's going on, but for the novice driver, the first timer, mm-hmm. what do they get? A little bit of help, a little bit of coaching?
They do. So what for the novice, what would happen is they would come out, we break them off, and there's a dedicated novice instructor that'll be with them all night. We don't do, some clubs will do right seat passenger, where we'll put a coach in the passenger seat. We do not do that at SCCA. Our insurance doesn't allow us to. So what we first do is do a classroom session. We'll teach them up a little bit, talk about how to drive a road course, straight line braking, when to turn in, keep the car under control, what, when, and how to pass. So they're safe out there, keeping your distance, all that good stuff. Then we take them out on parade lap. So the first session, we stay at under 45 miles an hour, which 45 miles an hour around the turns, they get the sensation of the speed of the track. We just keep them real slow down the straightaway in that. And that's a lead follow first session. So they actually get four sessions, the novices do. Then we come in, we talk to them again. And then we keep our fingers crossed and we send them out there very spread out, very limited passing. And there's corner workers and we're talking, we, the coaches are talking to the corner workers the whole time. So it's much different than, you know, racing where the club, where the corner workers are on their channel and the coaches are on our own channel. We're all a big team. So the corner workers are as involved as the coaches are. And if they see erratic driving or something they don't like, we bring the person in. You know, it's not about how fast you go. It's about how safe and getting comfortable.
Yeah.
And so it's we've been, knock on wood, we've not had an incident. I mean, most people that come out there, they get it. They don't want to wreck their car.
They got to drive.
They got to drive. 99% of them don't come on a trailer. They just drive it in, pump the tires up with a little air and go.
Yeah. Oh, man, that sounds fun. So then at the end of the evening, everyone kind of spread out or is there any sort of gathering?
Not really, because it's not at that event. Obviously, you've been around SCCA. We do that in other events, yeah. But not at track night. Track night is a come in. It's the end of the day. Everybody takes off. I mean, most people go talk to the coaches, thank us that.
Yeah.
Even the volunteers and the workers from national office. I mean, it's 7:30 at night. Most of us have a job to get to the next day. We clean up and go.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a weeknight. All right. Yeah. Good deal. Is that
May 5th?
May 5th.
The first one. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then will there be links on the NeOhio website?
There are links on the NeOhio website. There are links on the SCCA website for that one. So that's a national sponsored program that they just kind of leaned on the local regions, Mahoning Valley and NeOhio, to come up with the volunteers to support it. So the awesome. Benefit for us is it brings a lot of new people, introduces them to what we do. And, you know, we hope to put the hook on some of them. So just to that point, there was a driver at the Halloween divisional club race. I'm jumping to what our, you know, our club races are wheel to wheel, that rented a spec racer that was in my race. And he's a doctor out of the Erie, Pennsylvania area. And he got started at Track Night of America.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. He did a couple of track nights in Pittsburgh. I met him. He showed more interest. He moved up to time trials and then he's dipping his toe in the he's going down the rabbit hole, I guess.
Yeah,
and he's going to try some club racing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a definite progression. So that's the first thing that we have out there at Nelson's. We have going on at Nelson's this year. This is sponsored by and run by our club, and we are partnering with Mahoning Valley, the other region in the area, and we're doing a time trial. May 29th and May 30th. And time trial is much more advanced than Track Night of America or Lapping Days. This is for people that want to get serious and want to show who's the fastest. So there's 20 some classes. We group you by your car classification and we put a transponder on your car. And now you go out there and you run lap times. There is passing in the passing zones for the novice and intermediates, and the advances we allow open passing. However, that's not the game. The game is not to pass each other. The game is to find open track out there and run fast laps. So there's two things. There's the track sprint and there's what we call a time attack. So the one we just kind of send you out there, ask everybody to space out, and it's your fastest lap of the session counts on your total score. And then the track sprint is where we, or track attack, excuse me, is where we put you. It's kind of like a solo where we stage you on the back stretch. You start and then you take a quick lap around the track. It's about 2/3 away around the track from a standing start, and you're out there by yourself. And then we take all your times, add them together, and the fastest in your class wins the trophy. So that is really taken off. And then SCCA, a couple other clubs got into, a couple other organizations got into to time trials. We are a little late, but like most things SCCA, when we get in real serious. So we've had we actually have a national championship now for time trials. And it was down in Bowling Green, Kentucky at the Corvette track. And there were hundreds of cars down there.
So same thing, bring your own, your daily driver, just make sure it's safe. And
So there are classes for your daily drivers. However, time trial gets can get a little more serious.
All right.
So there, yeah, when you get into time trials, it's kind of like, I know you're an autocrosser. You've got the same thing. They all start with in the stock class. Then they move to the M, which is the modified class. And, you know, we allow them to do some things. They start putting race tires on, changing their brakes. And then there's a couple modified open classes. You can bring full-blown race cars out there. There's some serious cars in the higher level classes. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're competing against them if you bring your street car, because you can be in this one of the street car classes and you're running against people at your own car's level. And the guys with the race car, the gals with the race cars they're running against each other. So, gotcha. But it's neat to see the variety of cars, out there at the time trial. So that's a lot of fun, that event is.
Yeah. And is the May event the only one?
At Nelson's this year, it is. So there's going to be one at Pitt Race, one at Nelson's. There's talk that we might have a second one, but it won't be until October. There's a few open days in October. We were pushed to do a second one. It's like everything. We're a volunteer organization. We had trouble finding the volunteers until the track schedule booked up. Then all of a sudden they started raising their hands and it was a little too late. So,
yeah. Gotcha. So what else is going on at Nelson Ledges SCCA this year?
Well, I'm building up to it. So we do club racing. Club racing is, you know, what we're known for. That's the wheel to wheel stuff. So there's two club races out there. Going to have to look at my calendar, but it's the second weekend in July, which I should know, cause it's our race, Neil Ohio's race. And it looks like I'll probably be the race chair, so I better know the date. And then the next one is going to be at the end of October, which is going to be our Halloween divisional, where we had a very famous podcaster was our announcer on Sunday.
Right. Yes, I was. That was fun. Cold, yeah. But fun.
Cold, but fun. Yes. Yep. And we got out of there just before the storm hit. So we're going to do two races at Nelson Ledges this year. And the big one is, this is something that the track is doing, but NeOhio and SCCA are going to operate it. So anybody that knows the history of Nelson Ledges back in the 80s, there was an event out there called the Longest Day of Nelson's, became the pinnacle of amateur endurance racing. And it was very popular. It ran consistently from 1980 to 1996. And then it took a little break and then it came back in a different form in the mid 2000s. But the owner of the track, Brian Ross, that's one of the reasons he bought the track. He's always wanted to bring that event back. So he's going to bring it back. We are going to operate it. So what I mean by that is we're going to provide the stewards, we're going to provide race control, we're going to provide emergency services, corner workers, and pit workers to watch the pit stops, and it's going to be run under our sanction and our rules. So there's a lot of interest in this race. SCCA National is sending the Super Tour truck down, and we're going to get some people from the national office, some stewards from the national office to help. There's some rumors that SCCA is really noticing endurance racing, has taken some of our club racers and going into other organizations. So I think more than just Nelson's wants to get back into endurance racing, I think in general, SCCA is possibly going to get back into endurance racing here shortly. So that being said, that's what we do. And then Brian's going to promote it. So it's his event, his baby, And we're excited to be part of it. We've got calls once a week. It's coming together really, really well. I did talk to Brian before this call, and I'm allowed to make a few announcements. I'm just going to tell everybody that wants is thinking about coming to this race. If you run endurance racing from another organization, you need to get out to this event. We are allowing most licenses from most competitive series into this event. We're going to help you guys find a place to run your car as long as they meet our safety requirements. So there's a couple numbers you can call on our Facebook page and our website. Call them, and we're going to do whatever we can to help classify you and get you into this event. But here's why you want to come. I said, Brian, if anybody hasn't been to Nelson's in the last 2 to 3 years, you need to get out there. The new owner is making a ton of investment. The first thing is the track is paved. It's got curbing, and it is fast. It's a lot safer than it used to be. He's moved the tree line back. We've straightened a lot of the tire walls. He's got jersey barriers up in places to protect the fans. So it's much, much safer than it used to be. As time goes, he is investing more and more in the amenities. The track has great drainage now. It's level. And there's a tech building and a timing tower that is much nicer. And I know more and more is coming every year. So that's one reason to come, is just to get out to Nelson's. Nelson's has the legacy of being the fastest track in the United States. I know there's some controversy over that, but all I can tell you is I run a little four-cylinder car. Our average speed is, you know, close to 100 miles an hour around that place for a road course. It's a very fast track. The other thing is this event is going to be a mini Daytona 24 hour. The first thing is, instead of a Rolex watch for the winner, there is an Autodrome company out there, and anybody can look up their watches. It's www.autodrome.com, AUTODROMO.com. And it is a motorsports watch, and the winning overall team is going to win up to 6 watches, depending on how many drivers. So it's no different than the Rolex 24. And those of you that think you're going to miss out on the fireworks show, you're wrong. Because Phantom Fireworks is going to come out and do a firework display. We don't have the time yet. You know, there's some zoning and stuff that are some permits and that we have to work through, but there's going to be a fireworks display during the race. So if you want your car, a picture of your car going around the track with the fireworks in the background at night, you got to enter the race. Brian's awesome. Brian's working hard out there. I know he's working on a few more sponsors. He wants this race to be a success. Every sponsor he's working on, it's not about putting money in his pocket. It's going to go right to the racers. So he's got a couple other companies that I just wish I could announce. I know we're real close on, but he'll get them. So there's going to be lots of awards for the racers, depending on where we land with COVID come this June. Potentially there's going to be some, you know, other activities for spectators and the participants. Right now we can't really schedule anything because we don't know what we're allowed to do, but if he's allowed to, it's just going to be an event and a place everybody in Northeastern Ohio needs to be this summer.
That sounds awesome. How exciting.
We're excited to be part of it. I know there was some questioning. Well, where's the rules? And we got them. We did, you know, what people don't realize is this was thrown together. He came to us early November and said, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. We decided, okay, how are we going to do this? And it took us a little bit of time to figure out how we're going to do it, but we know how we're going to do it. It's going to be great.
You go back to the history. I mean, you had people like Paul Newman raced in that. You had some other teams show up and race it. Some Browns players used to enter a car, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't Bob Golic race there?
I think Bob Golic did. There was a Browns team that actually did the pit stops back then.
Oh.
That was exciting. You had a lot of famous drivers. Hurley Haywood was out there, which was, you know, in the Porsche fame. Yeah. There was a lot of people back in the 80s that came out for that event.
Yeah. So my first introduction to grassroots motorsports. So I did some autocrossing and solo with Knee Ohio, and then there was an Akron sports car club back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. But I was invited to be on a pit crew. Jim Murphy, I think was his name, a yellow RX-7.
Okay.
ITA car. And we would practice changing brake pads and stuff like that in his shop, and come the 24-hour race. What a awesome experience. The funniest part. So I did refueling and then whatever else they told me to do. My first experience at the track. Well, one of the guys had brought a camper and said, "Hey, you know, Billy," that's what a lot of people called me back then. "Billy, hey, when it's time for you to take a nap, here's our camper. You know, just go in, find a place to sleep, take a couple hour nap, and you'll be good to go." So it was time for me to take a nap, and I go in the camper and it's dark. I don't know where the lights are. So I start, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then. We could turn a flashlight on, right? So I start feeling around and I felt one of the other drivers. I'm like, okay, let me go to the where another bed might be. So it seemed like there was nowhere to sleep. I ended up cramped up in my 300ZX trying to take a nap. I don't think I got a single minute of sleep. And, but I'll tell you what, we changed the transmission in that RX-7 three times. I was covered in gear oil, head to toe, best experience of my life. Yep. It was a blast. I was hooked ever since.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are so many corner workers, and we call them flaggers, that worked the event back then that are still with us because of that event. There's racers that, you know, a little bit before my time, I really wasn't doing, because my dad and I were sprint racers when we got into it in the early 90s, but it was a little bit before my time. So I went out there for a few races, but it's amazing how many racers that still are running club races that they got started with the Nelsons 24. I took my buddies, I was in college in the late 80s. I took my buddies out there to go watch and drink some beer and just hoop it up. And, you know, you felt like you were walking into a pro race.
Yeah.
There was that many fans around the track. And, you know, it was a time where I wasn't going to the racetrack regularly because my family wasn't racing. And I'm like, this is Nelson's. You know, it was amazing to see that many people out there. So we're hoping, I know this is going to be our first stab at it. But yeah. I know the track owner is very serious about this being a long-term event.
Yeah.
So I think this will be his premier event annually as we go on in time.
Yeah. So I won't name the other series by name, but if somebody else has an endurance car that they've raced, there's a high likelihood that they can race it in this event.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's two series that are very popular around here. Most of the cars are going to be able to find a class to run.
Excellent.
You know, you can download, you don't have to be a member. You can download our GCR, our general competition rules. Just make sure your roll bar, your seat, and your safety belts and fire suppression meet our requirements, and we'll get you out there. There's a email out there, or you can just call one of the board members and we'll point you in the right direction. Maurice LaFond is our chief of tech, and he's ready and willing to help anybody make sure their car is safe and can get out on track.
That's awesome.
I run a car in another series as well with the team.
Yeah.
And that car is entered, and we're having no trouble. We don't have to do anything to the car but add fuel.
Nice. And then if people want to volunteer as well, they can go to Motorsports Reg, right?
They can go to Motorsports Reg, right? We definitely need volunteers. And that, I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. You're well-trained. we didn't even rehearse this.
No.
Yeah, so we definitely need volunteers. We need a lot of people for timing and scoring. So we've got computers up there, and a lot of the timing and scoring is done by transponders, but we need to run tape and backup in case things go bad up there. You know, there's no such thing as stopping the race because timing and scoring went down. That's not an option for us. So yeah, we do need Brenda and Bob. Nick, our head of timing and scoring, they would love to take anybody. Rookies are welcome. It is a great place to watch the race. You're right there up in the timing tower. You don't have to fight with the crowds or anything. And you're right at the front straight. A great view of the action is in timing and scoring. So I'd love to have people there. A lot of people want to get close to the action. Kurt Stevens, our chief of flagging and communication, he is a great trainer. What he did to me, I've been flagging races lately. And he just makes sure he assigns me with a more experienced corner worker, flagger, and he'll take some help. Now, I'll be honest, it's a little scary. You're real close to the action, so you've got to be prepared for that. And you've got to be very alert because you're the one throwing the yellow flag or the passing flag or the red flag. If you have the desire to be that close to the action and you can get out of the way, Mr. Stevens would be glad to put you as part of his team.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds great. Yeah. So is there anything else you want to talk about Thursday?
Yeah, longest day. No, that's about it. Well, we can probably do a whole session on longest day. We're just looking to make this a great event. Any local club racer or anybody that's interested in motorsports, I highly recommend you either try to get on a team, crew for a team, come out and volunteer, or if you just want to sit there, drink beer, and watch the cars around, come on out. We're very fortunate in this area to have a local track in Nelson Ledges, and we're very fortunate to have a track owner that actually has the wherewithal or the financial backing to invest and is willing to invest just for everybody's pure enjoyment. It's not about, I know what he's doing out there. It's not about his line in his pocket. It's more about making it a fun experience for everybody out there. And we need to show our support in this region and get out there and support that event.
Do you know what one of my most favorite things at Nelson is? It's an object. It is the brown clock radio in the bathroom. That's been there every time. I can't go back to the 24-hour race in the early 90s. I don't remember if it was there, but ever since then, every track day, every event, as a spectator or somebody that's on track, when that radio is there and playing music, mm-hmm, all's good with me.
Yeah.
I hope that stays forever.
Yeah. I've been going out to that place, believe it or not, since I was 3 years old.
Oh my gosh.
My family's got pictures of me, and I still, you know, like I'm not three, I'm probably like seven or eight, but even now when I'm pulling in with my truck and trailer, I'm like, ooh, ooh. Yeah. And I mean, I go to some pretty cool tracks. I've been, you know, to a lot of, on my personal racing, I've been to some cool tracks, but it's something about just pulling in Nelson's that, because it's the home track, it's a track I grew up on. I get like you, I still go by the silo and I remember the barn, and I still go, you know, there was where the barn was.
So if somebody, are the meetings, so there's monthly meetings for membership, yeah, are those still virtual?
They are. Eventually we're going to start doing, we're probably going to use this virtual format for our board meetings from now on.
Okay.
What we're talking about doing is probably quarterly membership meetings.
Ooh, cool.
So those are going to be live. You know, we used to do them at Winking Lizard. So it'll be some type of central Winking Lizard down at Bedford Heights. It'll be some kind of centralized area. So we can't stop talking about the Ohio though, because I'll get in trouble. I'm in love with, you know, the club racing and the stuff that happens at Nelson's, and it's obviously close to my, but we've got a lot of other activities
going on. I
know,
we got at least three other programs to talk about. I wanted to make sure we talked about.
I know. We want to quit this at 40 minutes, but let's.
You're good. We're going to keep rolling. I have to say one funny thing about the membership meetings.
Sure.
So I think it's good to go back to a social setting, especially if there's beer served, because that's a great way to get volunteers. So people have a couple of beers. Hey, we need some help. That's how I got roped into autocross way back when.
Yep.
Yeah. So keep that going. And I think the camaraderie is good too, getting everyone together in the same room.
Unfortunately, I think that's how I got roped into being the RE.
Someone wrote a really nice playbook on how to recruit people.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's jump into those other programs, which are equally as fun and a great way to get involved. Let's start with autocross.
So autocross, we've had a changing of the guard. Jason Ponke has not retired. He just kind of stepped aside. He's got two kids. So he built a great program for us out there at the Captain's Club. We put on a very nice solo experience out there. So Brandon Anderson has taken over this year as our program chair. It's nice to see him. He's very aggressively looking for new sites for us. He already has a new site that we're going to do out towards Toledo this year. And he's also brought the Starting Line School, which is kind of like what we do with Track Night of America for autocrossers. So that's going to be in August out there at the Captain's Club.
Cool. So that's a great program.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is it used to, and you might know, you might not, they used to have an option where you paid a little bit more and you got a helmet as part of the deal.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because of my travel and work schedule, unfortunately, I've not been involved with the solo program as the other programs, but I can find out and we can be on our Facebook here shortly what he's doing. So yeah, that's a great program. And that's a program that really, you just bring your street car out. They'll classify you. That there's a rule book out there. They'd like you to come prepared with knowing what class you're going to run. But I'll be honest, a couple of years ago, I brought my mechanic for my race car out. We just showed up and Bill Crow was back then. Bill Crow was the program manager. And I said, Bill, help us out. Where are we going to run? He told us where we were going to run.
Yeah,
it was a cool experience. And we'll do the same thing for you. So those are typically on a Saturday or Sunday. We break everybody into two groups. So what one group will be out there running, the other group will be working. And what we mean by working, you'll be out on the course, learning the course, but you'll also be picking up tires and picking up cones and running down cones. And then we flip flop. And it's a great way of getting started. Anybody that's got a car that just wants to come out and have some fun, take it to the limit. I mean, it's considered low speed because it is in a parking lot. So it's pretty safe. If the worst thing you're going to do is run over a couple cones.
Right.
I think you got started obviously that way. And a lot of people have gotten started that way. There are some people that stay with autocross forever. They just enjoy it so much. And then, you know, after there's actually a national program. And there's a national championship if people want to get serious about solo or autocrossing with SCCA. So it's a great way to get started, but it's also a great way to learn car control. And it's also a great way if you just want to keep safe and you don't want the high speed, but you love the competition, you can do it. You can do that. So that's going on. Greg Lester is our program chair for our road rally program. Greg is throughout the region and even nationally, he's a well-known rally master. So he creates some really cool events. And we're very fortunate to have Greg, a member of NeOhio. Last year, I did the Ohio Winter Rally, so right before COVID. We did it. What most of our rallies are, that's the big mystery. A lot of people don't know what they are, and then they come out and they have such a good time, they want to come back and back. So a road rally, what we do is Greg will go out and map a course. He'll have certain checkpoints, and it's what we do is we call time and distance. So you've got to get between the checkpoints at the perfect time, which he does right at the, normally right at the speed limit. You know, sometimes he varies things. So you've got the map, you don't have the map. He tells you the turns, like how to get there. And then you have to make sure you get there in the allotted time, but you don't necessarily know where his checkpoints are.
Right. So you don't know if you should be speeding up or slowing down.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about consistency and being prepared. Or maybe if you get behind and you just hit a checkpoint, it's like, okay, you might want to tell your, if you're the, so there's a driver and a navigator in the car. It's a challenge. So I did it with Ray Glover, one of our board members this past year. And I hadn't been in one in probably almost 20 years. I did a couple when I was younger, you know, more with the Corvette Club with my family than I did with SCCA. And I thought, what am I going to do? Just, you know, point this guy around. I was on the calculator, my iPhone, nonstop. I'm like, speed up, slow down there, right there. Right. And then, you know, it'd be like second right. So you'd have to count the roads and all of a sudden, right turn here.
Oh my gosh.
But it was, I think I had more fun, and obviously I enjoy driving, but I had more fun being the navigator than I think I did I would have been the driver. So yeah. May 15th of this year, Greg has organized what we call the Milk Run Rally. So it's down in Tuscarawas County, south of Canton. It's going to be about a 150-mile run through the hills and the mountains down there, around the rivers. It's a beautiful country down there. I encourage anybody to come. Entry fee is very inexpensive. It's about a $40 to enter. Mm-hmm. Good time, good people, come join us. And then, assuming that event goes well, we'll probably have another event sometime late in the summer he's talking about putting on. And then I know we'll do the Ohio Winter Rally again, because that's one of our most prestigious.
And some of those rallies are held at night. So there's a little bit more complexity for, you know, hey, I got to take the second turn on the left. Well, you might not have good visibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's not just driving around. It's active driving. We're not speeding. We're on public roads. So we've got to behave. Mm-hmm. And we do. And Greg will notify the local police department, you know, that we're out there. So they know we're coming. So you definitely don't want to speed. And they're not typically, once they, you know, he's in an area, once they know why we're coming, and we're all safe drivers, they leave us alone. It's just more of awareness when they see us all. Right. So last year we had an area where we all got to stop, reset the clock, and we were down a side road, and we were out in Thompson, Ohio. And there was probably 20 cars. And, you know, one of the guys that owns the house, he's looking, I can see him looking. I'm like, oh boy, here he comes walking down the drive. He's like, what the heck is going on? You know, Ray's explaining to him what, you know, road rally is. And he's watching. He's like, I got to get into this. You know, unfortunately it was our last one before COVID. So we gave him, you know, the website, how to find out information. We'll see if he shows up again, but he was excited. He was sitting there looking on his iPhone going, this is cool. And, you know, as we were getting closer and closer, and finally I'm like, it's our time to go, dude. Bye.
Yeah. Clock's starting to tick.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm sure that, you know, it's kind of neat. So we got road rally. We do have something called rally cross, which is very similar to autocross, but it's in the dirt. And that's ultimate car control. So that's a lot of fun. So our region's pretty new. We were working with the Geauga County Fairgrounds. It looks like we're getting boxed out of that venue, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody noticed, but they're building a school right next door, and they're taking some land away from the fairground. Yeah, so there's some things going out there that are kind of causing us some roadblocks. So lucky for us, Brian that owns Nelson Ledges has bought some property. Oh. And he's going to level an area, and we're going to trial his track or his site this summer on May 8th. So the day before Mother's Day, we're going to have a rally cross out at Nelson Ledges.
So did he purchase more property near the track?
He did.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So this is adjacent to the track property. Where we're going to be is we're going to be off the back stretch, right where across from Station 11,
mm-hmm.
Which most people thought was always part of the track, but that was actually somebody else owned that property.
Oh.
Yeah, so he bought that plot of land over there.
Gotcha. Same side of the street.
Same side of the street, yep. Right.
Okay, I gotcha.
So we'll be over there and see how it goes and see if we can do more out at Nelson's. This will be more of an experiment for him, for us. See long-term if this is a good site for us.
Oh man, that is exciting. May 8th. Mm-hmm. So let's talk real quickly about the cars then. What do people bring to participate?
Same thing as you do for your autocross. I mean, we have a lot of people that just bring their autocross cars out. Mm-hmm. The trick is you want to either put some kind of snow tires or some kind of treaded tires on. I took my daughter's college car. She's got a 2013 Honda Civic LX, nothing special. I put her winter snow tires on, taped up the fenders so I wouldn't nick the car up, and went out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was a blast. I mean, I snowmobile, I'm an old dirt biker, and you know, the car control is different than being on the track. You're sliding around, you're trying to find, so it's not the apex and trying to find the fastest way around the track. Well, it is finding the fastest way around the track, but the track is constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
So as as the day went on, you know, where you found traction in the morning, you didn't find it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it was about carrying speed. It was interesting, and fun.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. I wasn't able to do it the second time. I had a conflict, but, I'll be doing it again. So, yeah.
So that's the first one. That's the only one that's planned so far for 2021.
Right. Those are easy to put together. So most likely we'll have two or three. We just didn't want to commit to any dates beyond the first one until we get one under our belts this year.
Gotcha.
There's also, as you can tell in my schedule and a lot of the volunteers, we've got a lot going on early in the year with the time trial, the 24-hour race, our first rally cross. I try to. I'm like Bill Snow. You know, when do you sleep? We're friends. I see you on Facebook. You're always doing something.
Yeah.
I sleep at night.
There you go.
I'm tired when I go to bed. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm sure everybody in the region appreciates not only your dedication, but all those of the program chairs and all the volunteers to make motorsports happen here in Northern Ohio.
Yep.
So what didn't we talk about?
Neo Ohio, we covered pretty much everything that we're going to have. We want to keep growing Neo Ohio. Please, you know, if you're interested in motorsports, car activities in Northeastern Ohio, check us out. Come to one of our board meetings, come to one of our membership meetings, get to know us. If you want to participate, become a member. You know, we're excited about the activity that we have right now. And we hope to be able to provide more, but Neo Ohio and SCCA is a little different than some of the other organizations out there. SCCA is a nonprofit organization And we are a nonprofit club that is run by a bunch of volunteers. As you know, I have a day job that pays the bills, and everybody else that's a volunteer, we do this just to help each other get out and have fun with our cars is what we do.
Beautiful. Well, this is great. So remind me the Nelson date of the 24 hour.
All right. I got to go to my calendar because you got me all excited about everything and I'm going to screw it up. So the Nelson's 24 is the 12th or the longest day, excuse me, is the 12th and 13th of June. Yeah, the divisional race is July 11th and 12th.
So we're going to reconnect. We're going to have you on again for a quick update, probably either right before or right after Nelson.
The longest day.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I got on my mind right now is that.
I know. Yep.
And maybe both. Maybe we'll have you on before and after because there's so much stuff going on, so many good things happening. We got to keep this in front of all the people in Northern Ohio or elsewhere that might want to come in and check out the great stuff going on.
Okay. Well, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I'd appreciate coming back, and I appreciate you giving us this forum to talk a little bit about the club and what the club's got going on in Northeastern Ohio.
Yeah. So I have one question before we wrap it up. And sure. You can answer it one of two ways. So was there one time when either you were late to grid with one of your race cars or in your role as a leader within the region, was there a time when somebody was late to grid and there was a funny story about it?
Of course I was late to grid. Everybody's been late to grid, but I don't have a funny story. Every time I was late to grid is because we were having a mechanical problem and we were patching the car together. And I was getting out there. I don't work grid, so I don't know if I'm you got to ask Betsy some funny stories. So I wish I did have a funny story for you.
Yeah.
I probably failed you on that one, Bill. I just can't think of a funny story that comes to mind. I mean, I've seen multiple drivers come to the wrong grid time.
Yeah.
When it's not their time to go out.
Gotcha.
I have a pretty good crew chief that, he has his daughter involved now, and she runs the radio headset, and between the three of us, we make sure we're down there on time. I've been down, I guess, when they change the schedule, I've sat there for, 45 minutes, an hour in the sun, all geared up because of a schedule change.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, Dave, I want to thank you for being on Late to Grid, and give us the website for Knee Ohio.
So it's www.neohio, neohioscca.com.
Awesome. So anyone listening, if you want to learn more about Knee Ohio SCCA and the awesome stuff they have going on in 2021, head over there and learn more. So Dave, thanks again.
Thanks, Bill.